This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
Right, so this is David Kavanagh for the International Bomber Command Centre interviewing George Plant, an air crash witness. Well, it's 16th of February 2016.
Yep.
If I keep looking down, I'm just making sure it's still working.
Oh, right.
So I'm not being rude or anything.
No, that's fine.
So just going back then, 1940s, what were you doing at that time? Were you at school or had you left school?
Well, I left school when I was there. I was working on the farm. Okay. I lived at Caythorpe Heath, worked on the farm. And
so you've always lived in this area?
More or less, yes. Yeah. Yep.
And what were you doing on the farms?
Well, at that time, working horses mainly. And, general labouring.
Okay. So how old would you have been about that time?
At that time, I would be 17.
Okay. So how much of the... The bombing campaign started and all the airfields opened up around in Lincolnshire. What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember seeing, because we weren't far from Cranwell, remember seeing all the planes training there and also seeing bombers flying over, from various places at Scampton and all up there. And also when a lot of the paratroopers were stationed round here as well,
yeah.
Stoke Rochford and all around here, and you'd see them exercising, being towed by gliders, that sort of thing, And Caythorpe itself was full of paratroopers. They were all stationed there at Caythorpe, which was Caythorpe Court, which is now a farm institute.
Is this the American paratroopers?
Right? No, we're talking our own...
British?
Yeah, British paratroopers. There were American paratroopers stationed down at Fulbeck Low Fields on the aerodrome there as well.
Right.
And, they did in the early part when the Americans came. They were allowed up into the village, but I'm afraid there was a bit of what's it going on? Fights broke out between the Americans and our paratroopers, and so they were banned from the village,
So this actual accident itself, can you sort of describe what you...
We used to come down... on a bike from Caythorpe Heath to the village to catch a bus, either to Lincoln or Grantham.
And this would be 1945?
1945, February 1945, yep. And we came down, we used to park our bikes, the lady at the village shop used to let us leave our bikes at the rear of the shop. And we just where they was there waiting for the bus, and saw this Lancaster bomber sort of high up in the sky, and then it started to dive. Which, they often used to do that, and then they would pull out and flatten out, But this one didn't, and the engines were going full bore, and it kept coming in the dive, and.
So there's no flame or smoke?
I couldn't see any flame or smoke. And then it crashed into the rear of the old Caythorpe railway station.
Did you see it actually crash itself?
Well, I should say where we were in the village on the main street would be a good quarter of a mile from there, maybe a little bit more. And it saw it hit the ground and... There was a big explosion, and by that, the bus came round the corner. So we got on the bus to go to Grantham, and that was my, bit of experience of the plane crash.
You didn't go back to see the wreck at all?
No, no. We didn't. We went on into Grantham and you couldn't get anywhere near the place. Of course, during the war, you know what it was like. It was sort of off the road anyway, well, so... And there was rumours going about that it was a black crew that was on board, but nobody, you couldn't get anywhere near the crash.
So, since then, what have you found out about that?
Well, since then, I tell you, I got this message from Australia.
Telling, that was just in 2014.
That's right. Telling me that... one of the relations of this lady that wrote the letter...
So that's her father's older brother.
That's right.
And it's Rod Pope.
Yep, that's right, yeah. Yep. That he was on the plane. And
so
it was...
That's all the crew were killed there.
That's right. That's the first I knew it was an Australian crew.
So how did this lady... contact you then? How did she know about you being an eyewitness to it?
Well, I tell you, the magazine that was asking for people that...
the local magazine.
That's right, anybody knew. And I can't believe, really, that they never had any more people than I. Mind you, I suppose if no one was... if they're all in the house or nobody was in a position like we were in, you might not notice... But nobody replied to them, and then, as I say, they contacted me, and we've had this correspondence.
And she hasn't been over from Australia, though, so you haven't actually met her?
Yes, I have met her and her husband, yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I met them. I thought they'd have a job to find me here, so I arranged to meet them at Belton Garden Centre. So we went there and had a pot of tea and...
So they've come over from Australia?
Yeah, that's right, last year.
Yeah. And what was... and you took her to the crash site, did you?
No. Oh. No, she'd obviously been there. And according to what she was saying, they'd got someone... In the 70s, I didn't know this, had done a bit of a research, an excavation there where it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got some parts that are, I think, in a bit of a museum at East Kirkby, is it?
Okay, East Kirkby, yes.
Yeah, she said they were going to be on display there. You know, there's nothing, you know, untoward.
Yeah.
But she...
And did she visit East Kirkby, you know?
Yeah, she'd visited East Kirkby, yes, and she knew about this. She'd been in touch with the people at Lincoln.
Right.
I think she'd been in touch, I think, with your people anyway.
Oh, right, okay.
And said there was going to be a memorial put up at Lincoln. And possibly, when it was opened, I would get an invite, but I've not heard from them since, so...
No.
You know, I didn't...
I was going to ask about that. So you've got no idea if a memorial's gone up or anything?
No, I don't know.
I might make some inquiries about that and see what...
You know, I mean, whether she meant there his name was going on the memorial that's up there, I don't know.
So, this is just for the recording. it's Lancaster... PB812.
Yep.
But it doesn't actually say here which squadron it was with. It was with one group.
No.
There were no squadrons mentioned on here.
No,
so,
but
are you wanting to be in touch with this lady again, or?
No, I've got. I'm waiting for her to contact me. I've got no means of contacting her, you see, over there.
Because I might find out, see if anything further happened at East Kirkby, whether there was the idea of the memorial or anything.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I mean, she did tell me that when they came over that the relation that died in the plane.
This will be the Rod Pope.
Rod Pope, that's right.
Yeah.
Was only on it because the, I don't know whether he was a navigator, I can't remember now. But the original one that should have been on the plane was sick.
Right.
So he filled his spot. He was only 21, I think.
And he was probably the navigator then?
That's right, yeah.
Got the names of the crew here actually. It's Flying Officer FJ, fortunately, something Downey or something, R.A. Miller, R. Pope, G.M. Doherty, and A.J. Wobbington.
I mean, according to the coroner's report, I know it says something about something to do with it. Automatic pilot that might have caused the crash, you see, and then it's got on to say someone else reported it later on that it had the same problem.
Yeah, it says here, this is from Warrant Officer, Flying Officer Lucas. I was the usual captain and pilot of Lancaster PB812 after operations on January the 2nd, 1945. I complained that the automatic pilot fitted to this aircraft caused the aircraft to go into a sudden dive.
Yep.
This was attended to, and since then there has been no further signs of this trouble. I've completed four operations in this aircraft since that date, and all the auxiliary equipment, including nitrogen, has proved entirely satisfactory. So there was a problem at some point, wasn't there?
Yep. Apparently they were on a training flight, but they were due to go on a bombing raid the next day.
Mm. Okay, I think we've probably got the story there.
I'm sorry, I can't lock it all.
That's good. Right, so if we just go back to what you were saying there, it came down on the station, the Lancaster.
Yep.
And it went into the goods yard.
Yeah, on the end of the goods yard, yeah.
And as far as you're aware, nobody was hurt.
No.
But there was a Wellington that...
Yeah, but not at the same time.
No.
But I do recall that one. That was one night, so I didn't witness that. But, I mean, it did come down on the hillside.
And the wheel came off.
That's right. The wheel came off and went over the house and killed the cow that was in the crew yard.
But you weren't a witness to that one?
No. I think it was middle of the night. I think it was back. I think it was coming back from a bombing raid. I'm not sure on that, but that, and I think that would have been sort of in 1944. You know.
I mean, there's obviously a lot of crashes and accidents in this area, so.
Oh yes, I mean, there's a lot of training planes from Cranwell. You know, used to come down, nothing serious, but they'd crash land, and most of the big farms had what they called crash gates.
Yeah.
So the services could get in pretty quick, like, you know. But
so what happened after the war then? Did you just go back to working on the farms and...
Yeah, well, I've been about a bit. After the war, I worked on the farm for a long, long time, till about the 1950s. And then I got married and lived the other side of Lincoln, at Harvey. And I worked on a nursery there, growing flowers and bulbs. And then I came this way again into Grantham, worked on the railway just before the steam was packed up. And then when the steam was packed up, I joined the fire service.
Oh, right.
Down here, did 27 years in the fire service.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, let's look there.